to come up and who's going to share our Bible reading with us today.
Morning, everyone. The reading today is from 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verse 12. Now David was the son of Ephraite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judea. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in age. Jesse's 3 eldest sons had followed Saul to war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left his flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse directed. He reached the camp as the army were going out onto its battle positions, shouting the war cry.
I wonder here, who is the youngest sibling? I wonder if you were the youngest. All right, a few hands going up. I kind of wonder what that was like. Well, I'm a youngest sibling as well. I've got one older brother. I wonder what it was like for you being the youngest sibling. I wonder if the dynamics in that for you worked well or not. Hopefully you'll see where I'm going with a little bit. Because just to recap what Hazel has just read for us today, David is the youngest. David in the Bible is the youngest of 8 siblings. That's what we are told. And the situation is that there is currently a standoff. The Israelites are on one side of the valley, and their enemy, the Philistines, are on the other side of the valley. We're told that 3 of David's brothers are on the front line of battle. David is asked by his dad, Jesse, to take some food provision to his brothers. Now, I think this is a famous passage in the Bible. But what I think often happens is that we might read this passage that was read to us there by Hazel basically to get to the main action. Because, you know, the main action is the big David and Goliath bit, isn't it? That's where we're heading towards. So I think a lot of people would read this passage basically to get to David and Goliath. And then the preacher, you see, would talk about how God can help us overcome the giants in our lives. I wonder how many sermons we've heard are based around that. And it's true, he can, all right? Which he can help us to overcome the giants in our lives. But today, I'm not going to read on to that part. Because I want to focus on what might have been David's reaction when asked to go to his brothers. See, we're not sure. It doesn't really tell us. It might have been when his dad came up to him and said, "Oh, David, come on, look, your brothers need some packed lunch, your brothers need some food, go and take them this bread and all this." David's reaction to his dad's request could have been, "Oh, of course, Dad, I'll go and do that. In fact, it would be an honour and it would be a privilege to go and do that, Dad. Thanks for asking me to go and do that for you." But then I was thinking about this fact that David is a younger brother. And I was kind of thinking younger brother reaction. So in some ways, it could have gone a bit like that. His dad comes up to him, David asked, said, "David, will you go take this food to your brothers?" And it could be that David's reaction was like, "Oh, why me? Do I have to?" And I kind of got this little bit of this, the kind of what I call kind of Harry Enfield's Kevin. Do you know, some of you all know that? But there was a character in Harry Enfield called Kevin, who was a nice lad until he turned into a teenager. There's a fantastic scene where Kevin one day is okay and then he comes downstairs the next day as a teenager and he's suddenly been transformed into... We once showed that clip to Adam just to ask him if he could see any resemblance in the clip at a certain time in his own journey. Welcome back to Oldham, Adam, by the way. We're not quite sure David's reaction, to be honest. But the first thing I want to say then around this is this, and my heading is, I don't want to be in this position. Sometimes we might, or we don't want to be in the position that we are in. And I'm kind of thinking about David going to see his brothers. But the kind of the, and we don't know. But sometimes we don't want to be the position that we're in. Sometimes we might ask God, why am I in this position? And it might be to do with my work position or my circumstances. And we just say to God, why am I in this position? But the reality is, we are at the moment where we are. And then I wonder if or how this passage might help or challenge us about the position that we are in. Could it be, for some of us, that God might have put us in that position for a reason? Could it be that God wants to use us in the position that we are in? See, in the story of Esther, I don't know how much you knew about that story before today. I don't know how much you picked up from the cartoon animated version that I showed you today. But Esther had become queen. But she had to hide her identity. See, Esther was a Jew in a foreign place. So she was queen, but she wasn't. Nobody knew that she was actually Jewish, in that, or she was part of God's people. And then we hear that there is a plot to kill all of the Jews, all of God's people. See, without realizing it, I think, like David going to the front line of battle that day, God had positioned Esther in the right place. Because as you move on from that, and my second thing is this, who knows then where when? Who knows where when? See, when David woke up that day, when he was asked to take provisions to his brothers, he could never have known that day, how that day was going to pan out. He could never have known, surely, that on that day, by the end of that day, he would become the famous giant slayer. He wakes up. Dad says, "Take some food to your brothers." He might have been, "Oh, thanks, I'll do that, of course." Or he may have been, "Again, do I have to?" But he could never have known that by the end of the day, he would be the giant slayer. See, we don't always see it at the time. We've just sung about this. But our God is always at work. God is maneuvering things, I believe, always to his purposes. He is creating divine opportunities. He is creating divine appointments for us as God's people. You know, when we go out onto the precinct to take our prayer flag out there, one of the things that we pray is, God, would you create today divine opportunities? Would you send the right people to us, the people that you know need to stand with us today, that we can pray for them and encourage them and show something of you? We pray that as we start, we get ready to put that time onto the precinct and offer prayer for people. And I want to tell you just an encouraging story about that. Because there is someone in our church today. And the reason, one of the reasons that they're here is because at Christmas we were on the precinct. And we were giving out crocheted snowflakes. Who remembers crocheting those snowflakes? Loads of them. And we gave them out because we wanted to say that every person was unique and special. And we were on the precinct at Christmas giving out crocheted snowflakes. And we gave out lots, hundreds, a few hundred, I think. But one person got a snowflake and had a conversation as they got there. And actually, about 3 weeks ago or so, they came to our church for the first time. And when asked, why were you here, what brought you here today, they said, because I got a snowflake in December. Be encouraged. God's always manoeuvring and at work. He's creating these divine appointments. Many times we don't hear about it. But what a privilege of encouragement it is when we do. It's about, isn't it, right place, right time. See, David, after going into camp with the food for his brothers, he hears the taunts of Goliath. And there's all sorts of things go on, but eventually David says, I'll fight him. But it's because he was in that position, at that place, at that time, then he hears the taunts and it stirs in him something to say, my goodness, this guy's taunting our God. Who's going to do something about it? And eventually David says, I'll fight him. Right place, right time. And for Esther as well, on hearing the plot against her own people, we read these words. Esther 4:13. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this message. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, Esther, relief and deliverance from the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, Esther, but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. On hearing this, Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, it's her uncle. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat and drink for 3 days or nights. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out Esther's instructions. Mordecai is saying to Esther, when this news comes through that you are in the right place at the right time, for God's purposes in your life. You know, I really like and have used many times the illustration from Philippians 2, verses 15 to 16. And it talks about Christians, God's people, shining like stars in the darkness. I really like that illustration. That part of who I am as a follower of Jesus is to shine in the darkness. And my goodness, there's a lot of darkness out there to shine into. But stars are powerful. When you look into the space, which is vast darkness, the stars shine through. That's what we're called to be as God's people. But this week, in our midweek fellowship, while watching our NUMA videos, we watched one called Trees, and it gave another illustration. It says it was the role of God's people, part of God, the role of God's people, are to plant Eden's trees as we go about our daily lives. What he was saying is that Eden was how God made things to be. And actually, as God's people, as we go about our daily lives, we are called to plant Eden's trees. Basically, we are called to plant the things of God, how God made things to be, into this world. I like that as well. You can take either one. You can be a star or a tree planter. It's up to you. But there's that sense that upon us as God's people, there's this calling to do good and to take God's hope and healing and reconciliation and message of good news into this world, to make a difference in our words, in our actions, in all that we are, to shine like stars, to plant the trees of Eden the way that God intended things to be. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you want to live that in your life? Because thirdly, the question is, are you ready for that? Do you want to be used by God? If so, I believe that the first steps are about being faithful and about being obedient. See, like I said, we said earlier, we don't really know if David wanted to go or not to his brothers. We don't really know. But what we do know is that he did what he was asked to do, and he went to take the food. You know, it's important for us, I think. If we want to be used by God, I think it's important that we are faithful in the small things first. Get those things right, and it positions us. It helps God to position us in places where he can use us. And I believe that David and Esther were ready to be used by God. Even though they might have got up that day and not expected what the day was going to bring, I think they were ready for what the day was going to bring. See, we know that David was ready because as you read on, we see that he trusted God. Verse 37, he says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." He trusted God. We know his heart was in the right place. He was ready. We also know as we read on that Esther trusted God. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my attendants will fast also. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I will perish." She knew who she was. She was a girl who belonged to the King of Kings, to God. She was ready. However difficult it was going to be, she was ready. She says, "We need prayer around this. But if I have to go, I have to go." For us, being ready is also being aware of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And we talk about this as we go about our daily lives. If we're faithful in those small things, I think the Spirit will prompt us and say, "Come on, get involved here. Here's a chance to shine. Here's a chance to plant a tree." Just what he did with David, David went and he took the food, I think the Holy Spirit said into him, "Come on, I'm calling you now to fight this giant on behalf of your God." And when those Holy Spirit promptings come as we go about our daily lives, we take a deep breath and we step forward. You know, I was really encouraged last weekend. It was Alison's mum and dad's 60th anniversary meal, and we were sat next to Alison's brother, and he's a Christian, and he was telling me that his organisation had helped a council, I think, win an award, and the awards ceremony was down in London. So him and some of his colleagues were invited to go down as part of this award ceremony and have a meal. And so they were sat on this big round table with people they didn't really know. It was just part of this award ceremony. But John had said that he was sat next to a lady. And somehow in the conversation, they got into a conversation that they were both Christians. But this lady kept asking John about different things, because I think I get the sense that she was kind of a fairly young Christian. And you know, John, Alison's brother, was able to share with her about resources like Lexio 365 and the Bible app and good resources to use with small groups and things like that. And I just felt, as he was talking, you just felt God had positioned him on the table next to somebody that day that needed to hear that conversation, to be next to him. This is our God. This is what he does. Even when we don't see it, he's working. And before I finish, I just want to say two extra things with you. The first thing is this: being in the right position can sometimes bring opposition. It's not always easy to be in the position that God wants to put you in. It wasn't for David. If you read verse 28, it says this: when Eliab, one of David's oldest brothers, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle." David is in this position, and he's been challenged by his own brother. And he's been falsely accused by his own brother. But God had positioned him, and it wasn't easy. He's getting this challenge upon him, this opposition upon him. Sometimes when we are in a position where God wants to use us, we will come across opposition. Esther, you heard earlier when I read, as she prepares to go to the king, because the rule was that you weren't allowed to go to the king unless he invited you. And the rule is, if you went to see the king before he invited you, then there's a good chance you will die. And Esther says that. She acknowledges it. Being in that position, she says, "Wow, okay, pray for me, but I'm going to go. And if I die, if I have to die, I die." She knew that the opposition was there for her. But in the end, both David and Esther pushed on, pushed past, trusted God. And in the end, these are two awesome stories of victory in the Bible, aren't they? First one, because of David pushing on, being in the position, in the end, a giant is slain and God's people defeat the Philistines. An amazing victory. And through Esther, because even though she knew she could die if she went to see the king, as she went, the story unfolded, backed by this prayer power that she'd furnished up. But through that, Esther goes to the king. And circumstances mean that the law is changed and God's people are basically saved from extinction in that moment. Two amazing victories take place as these people move into the position that God had put them in, push past the opposition, and were willing to be used by him. And the second thing I'd say to you this is, not all positions are where God wants us to be. We can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I thought about that. I want to think about the two areas that specifically I want to say to people today. The first is this: if you would say that you are in an unhealthy, abusive, toxic relationship, then you need to get out of that position. However difficult that is, and if you need help, I want to say that your church family is here for you. But we find that some people are in relationships which are toxic, unhealthy, abusive, not kind, and you do not have to be in that position. And if you are, can I encourage you to get out? And if we can help you as a church, then please let us know. The second thing I'd say is, be careful to get into a position that can pull you away from your faith. I find that some people find themselves in positions, and actually what it does is, it's a position that's not advancing their faith, it's actually pulling them away from faith. It might be positions of friendships, it could be positions of activity, it could be positions of work. And I want to say that if you're in a position that's pulling you away from your faith, you might need to think about making a change in your circumstance. And again, I recognize it's not always easy. So finally, you know what? One said that every sermon, every message should contain the gospel. Okay? So I want to ask you, did you spot Jesus today? Now, there's a question. Because he was there. Jesus was there. Because like David and Esther, Jesus found himself in a difficult position. He was heading towards the cross. Like David and Esther, Jesus faced huge opposition in that journey. But like David and Esther, Jesus became a rescuer, didn't he? And his rescue was for all mankind. Jesus, on that position of the cross, became the rescuer for us all, for you and for me. I am so grateful for that, because I'm here today because of that. So what's your position? Where are you? For some of you, you might just be in a difficult position. And maybe my reminder to you today is of God's promise, that if you are in a difficult position, just want to remind you that God's promise is that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be with you. It might be that we just need to think about the position that we're in and say to God, God, could the position that I might be in be a such a time of this position? Because you never know when you wake up tomorrow what God might want to do for your day. You could be a giant slayer tomorrow by the end of it. And then the third thing is, if you're not in the right position, I pray that you would have the wisdom and the courage and the strength to step out of that position and to trust God for where he's leading you. We'll pray about those things in a minute. But before we do, we're going to sing. And I've just picked the song Living Hope because the song reminds us of the position that Jesus went to get to us. The position of the cross, which enables us today to be forgiven, healed, set free in his name. Let's stand. Pray just for a few minutes, just to try and just kind of seal a little bit what God might be saying to us this morning, particularly individually. Talked about different things, and I just want to offer a prayer into those different things so that as you go out today that you just feel reassured, strengthened, whatever it might be. So I want to pray for people that are just in a difficult position at the moment. Just pray that you just know that your God is with you in that difficult position. Pray that he'll lead you through. The second is a group of people is just those that are in the wrong position at the moment, that position that is unhealthy for you, for whatever reason, possibly for your own well-being, or it could be unhealthy because it's actually taking away from you, from your faith. I pray for wisdom if a change needs to be made, that God would lead you to that place. And I pray for us all that we might just have that sense of our purpose, isn't it? About being stars, about being tree planters, about being, you know, trusting God that he might put us in positions where he can just use us to, for his glory, to win battles, to, you know, save lives. You know, Jamie was telling me a story about, you know, just that conversation he had. Jamie sits on benches and God often brings people to him to sit next to him, and then he has a conversation with them about Jesus, and you're never quite sure, a lot of them he won't know what happens, but this week he got an encouragement of one of those conversations and how God had used it. We just don't know, do we? So let's again just bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, here we are, just your people, preparing ourselves to leave this place in a few minutes back into the world. But Lord, we come now just in this oasis of space again to ask your Holy Spirit to fall. Lord, we've sung songs, we've shared words, we've listened a lot. But Lord, we just pray that you would just, even in these last few minutes, that you would just meet us and just have your way in this place. Lord, I do recognize there are some people today that they're in a difficult position. It's a struggling position. It's a storm, we sometimes call it. They're concerned about things, about themselves, about others around them. Lord, would you bring that assurance today to them? Lord, that whatever the situation is, that you are there. I pray that there is that sense of, we talked the other week about even peace, even within the storm. That you would give them that assurance that big God is on their side. And whatever they face, whatever the situation is, you are with them. That you are bigger than anything. And you have a big picture that we don't always see. And I pray that they would just have that trust in their heart, Lord, that you would help them, be with them, care for them, lead them through. Pray for others today that are in a difficult position, and actually it's not a position that you would want them to be in. It's a wrong place, wrong time. Circumstances, situations have drawn them into that position. Lord, for some it's an unhealthy relationship, a relationship which is damaging towards them. It's toxic and it's hurtful. And Lord, but Lord, it's hard sometimes to break away from those relationships for different reasons. Lord, would you bring courage? Would you bring strength? Would you bring your protection around those people? Would you help them to find help where they can? Because some people need to be moved out of those places. For others, Lord, it's a situation that they're in, and an activity that they're part of, groups that they're part of, even work that they're part of, and it's pulling them away from faith. Lord, as we just sung, the devil has no grip here. Lord, we're praying against that. Lord, that the devil would use something to pull people away. Lord, would you cut against that? And if it means that the person needs to make a change, Lord, would you show them? Guide them towards that. And then, Lord, for us all, Lord, would you help us to be people that are ready to serve you in the world in which we live in today? Lord, would we be prepared to be used in the different positions where we are, whether it's in our homes, our streets, our workplaces, wherever we are? Lord, would you maneuver us? Would you create divine opportunities and divine appointments? Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful in the small things, that you might even use us in the greater things. Lord, may we have testimonies of how you've used us in different places at different times, even when it's surprising to us. Lord, every day when we get up has the potential to be an opportunity, I know that. Well, then maybe this week you want some of us to be giant slayers, but you need to position us into the right place for that to happen. Lord, we'll be guided by you. Would we hear your prompting of your spirit, and would we trust you in those times? And would we be courageous when we need to be? Lord, we are your people. Lord, you are our Lord and Saviour. Lord, would you be in that driving seat? Would you be in that place of sovereignty in our hearts, on the throne of our hearts? May we be your people, true, faithful. May we be today's Davids and Esthers. Why? Well, because of Jesus. Because you gave everything for us. May we follow you, like we said, we sung right at the beginning, with all that we are. To your praise, to your glory, to your kingdom come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just say, as we prepare to finish, you know, if you've got a